Hello and welcome to Meet the Abolitionists. Today we have some very special guests. We have Lucretia Mott, William Lloyd Garrison, Frederick Douglass, and Sarah Grimke. They will be sharing their story, but I will also be telling you about the famous abolitionist in Kansas, John Brown. Born May 9th, 1800, Trenton, Connecticut. Died December 2nd, 1859, Charlestown, Virginia. He was able to support the abolitionist cause by becoming a conductor of the Underground Railroad. At the age of 55, Brown moved with his sons to the Kansas Territory. John Brown led a small band of men to Pottawatomie Creek, May 24, 1856. The men dragged five unarmed men and boys believed to be slavery prominents from their homes and brutally murdered them. Brown also raided Missouri, freeing 11 slaves and killing the slave owner. Brown spent 2.5 years traveling throughout New England, raising money for his anti-slavery war in the South. In 1859, John Brown rented the Kennedy Farmhouse. There, Brown trained 21 men. Part of the plan was to let slaves in the area with weapons, pikes, and rifles. On October 16, 1859, John Brown and his men raided the federal arsenal. Unfortunately, nothing went as planned. Slaves in the area did not join the raid and was soon shut down. And most of John Brown's men were either killed or captured, including his sons. Brown was quickly found guilty of murder. Brown's version of ending slavery was failed by deaths of innocent civilians, both in Kansas and Harper Ferry. John Brown was hung on December 2, 1859. Before he died, Brown's final words in the note he handed to his jailer, "I, John Brown, am now quite certain of the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away, but with blood I had, as I now think, vainly flattered myself without very much bloodshed, it might be done." That was John Brown and his story, but now let's hear some of our guest stories, starting with Frederick Douglass.
Hi, my name is Frederick Douglass. In 1845, I published my first book called The Narrative of Life of Frederick Douglass. I am also an ex-slave, so I had to teach myself to read and write. Over time, I helped other slaves become literate. I had the pleasure to meet the president himself, Abraham Lincoln. Also, I was the most photographed man of the 19th century. In 1872, I was nominated for Vice President of the United States of America. When I was an anti-slavery lecturer in the years after 1838, I suffered a broken hand in 1843 when I was attacked in Indiana during the 100 Conventions tour. I also attended the Senesa Falls Convention in 1848. I was saying it was self-evident that everyone should have the right to vote. I was an ardent defender of women's rights and would spend much of my time promoting electoral equality across America. At the age of 16, I fought Edward Covey, and a farmer with the reputation of being a slave breaker. When farmers had a troublesome slave, they sent them to Covey. In this instance, however, me, a fierce resistant, forced Covey to cease his violent abuse. This scuffle changed my life.
That was an interesting story. Why did you want to learn to read and write? What was your motive?
It was a way to relieve my pain about being an ex-slave and not being able to read nor write during that period of my life really just shot me down.
That must have been hard to try to learn in secret. Now we have Sarah Grimke.
Hello, I am Sarah Grimke. I am an abolitionist and an author. I was born in South Carolina, and I also became a Quaker in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. When I went down to visit in Pennsylvania, I met up with one of the Quaker Society, or also known as the Society of Friends. When I was listening to them, I started to find their views on slavery and women's rights. I had started to realize that I fell in line with their views. I had then decided to join them and moved down in Philadelphia for good. Me and my sisters have published a book. The book that I published is called Epistle of the Clergy of the United States. And my sister had published a book called An Appeal to the Christian Woman of the South. Both of our books are about arguing about slavery. I had also became vice president of Massachusetts Women's Suffrage Association in 1868. I led a group of women to Hyde Park in Boston so we could vote in the local election even though it was illegal.
What was your passion about being part of the women's rights movement? Like what got you into it?
Women rights movement plays a big part today. If the movement didn't happen in the past, it's scary to think where women and men could be today. When I visited the Quaker Society, I had realized that my views were really similar with the views of women's rights, so I decided to join the Quaker Society in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
That is a scary thought. And now we have another women's rights activist, Lucretia Mott.
Hi, I'm Lucretia Mott. I was born on January 3rd, 1783. In Nantucket, Massachusetts. My father's name is Thomas Coffin and my mother's name is Anna Folger. I grew up in Boston and went to public school for 2 years. I knew from a young age that I wanted to put an end to social injustices. When I was 13 years old, I was sent to a friend's boarding school near New York. A couple of years later, I became a teacher's assistant, and then I became a teacher, and that's when my interest in women's rights began. But because I was a woman, I was only paid half of the salary that male teachers were getting. In 1811, I married my husband, James Mott. A few years later, I started to speak at religious meetings. About 3 years later, I was accepted as Minister of Friends. I joined the Hicksite branch of the Society of Friends. As we entered the 1820s, a rift occurred, and in this decade, I began to travel around the country lecturing about religion. In 1833, I attended the founding convention of the American Anti-Slavery Society, and immediately after, I led an organizing its women's auxiliary, the Philadelphia Female Anti-Slavery Society, of which I was chosen as president. After the passage of the Fugitive Slave Law of 1850, my home became a station for the Underground Railroad. In May of 1838, my home was almost attacked by a mob after the burning of Pennsylvania Hall, Philadelphia.
Why were you so involved in the women's rights movement? What drove you to do something about it?
I think it was because I grew up so imbued with the women's rights, so I guess it was just always the most important thing in my life. I wanted to do something about it because I grew up in a house where in our minds everyone was equal.
It's crazy to think that these people lived in our history make such an impact. We have one more abolitionist, William Lloyd Garrison.
I am William Lloyd Garrison. I am from Newburyport, Massachusetts. I was born December 10th, 1805. My dad was never home because he was always traveling for jobs. I joined the abolition movement at age 25 and edited some newspapers. I served a short time in jail for libeling a Newburyport merchant. I am a journalistic crusader who published a newspaper called The Liberator. I also helped lead a successful abolitionist campaign against slavery in the United States. I helped establish the Anti-Slavery Society with some other abolitionists, and I served as president in 1843 to 1865 for the Anti-Slavery Society. I also gave several lectures in Ohio. I also established the American Anti-Slavery Society in 1833 and popularized the need for immediate abolition to slavery. I am known for writing the famous paper called The Liberator and creating the American Anti-Slavery Society. I was also a part of the women's suffrage movement.
Why did you want to publish The Liberator?
I wrote The Liberator to educate people, mostly the ones who had never seen a slave, about the cruelty of it and how they were treated.
All these stories had a big part in our history with slavery, and they all were so interesting. Thank you for listening to Meet the Abolitionists.